episode of Pit Lane Parlay.
Welcome to the first Pit Lane Parlay experience with Harding Steinbrenner Racing. We are joined today by George Steinbrenner the First. First, George, how are you doing today?
Doing all right. How are you?
Good. I think we're enjoying the warm weather here versus back up north. So let's dive right into it. We've only done one practice session, but what are your thoughts after the first practice session so far here down St. Pete?
We ran into a bit of traffic on our second set of tires. Weren't able to really light up the scoring sheet, get a really clean lap in, but we learned a great deal about the car in that first 45-minute session. So we're looking in good shape for the 220 session later this afternoon.
Cool. Turn it back over to Jess.
All right, George. So the first question I always like to ask is a little colorful. I like to ask, if I gave you a 400-pound block of Parmesan cheese, what would you do with it?
I would make 400 pounds of chicken, 400 pounds of pasta, and make 400, well, I guess it would be 1,200 pounds of chicken Parmesan.
I think that is our heaviest answer. So, that might be our best one so far. Definitely better than a few of the lobs where you get, I'd give it to my wife. Those are always the ones that I'm not a fan of. Hopefully nobody who said that is now listening, but we'll flip it over to the other mic.
So when you guys showed up at COTA, you were in a completely black car. Now you have a livery and some sponsorship on the side of it. How did all of that come together?
Latitude came on board a couple months back to sort of talk about a unique sort of sponsorship opportunity that they could bring to us, and we hadn't had the deal yet done by the time we got to COTA, so we ran the carbon black livery, or lack of livery, and worked hard to try and come up with something creative and something a little different from everyone else out in the paddock with the livery. With Latitude, they worked well with us in trying to come up with a creative solution to have a unique sort of car that stands out when you bring it out on the grid. So we're excited that I'm excited that this gets to be my first livery in IndyCar. I think it's a pretty cool car, and looking forward to see it out in track during the race with all the other guys.
Yeah, I would say it's definitely top three of the best liveries of 2019 so far, and might be one of the top I've seen in the last handful of years at least. My second question, so, growing up, in the Yankee family, Yankees pride themselves on excellence, commitment year after year. Are you bringing that same mentality or trying to instill that same mentality with, everybody surrounding us and Colton and, bringing that winning atmosphere to the IndyCar paddock?
Definitely. My family doesn't take losing very lightly. In IndyCar, you lose a lot more than you win. So I guess bringing that sort of mentality of not really wanting to lose at all will bring sort of a Penske-esque sort of you take the checkered flag first, or it was a failure of a weekend. Of course, we have to be realistic with the new operation we've got going. We have to curb our expectations a little bit, but. Down the line, a few years down the line, I'm looking to Mike and I are looking to have a program where we're just like Penske, Ganassi, Andretti. We're going in every weekend expecting to take that checkered flag first, and anything else is lackluster.
I love it. Go ahead, Jess.
So on that note, then, what are your expectations for 2019?
For 2019, we're sort of setting our expectations at a what we see as a not getting too optimistic about running up front constantly, or because we had a great preseason tests, and it would have been easy for us to sort of be like, whoa, we're the best thing since sliced bread. But I think curbing our expectations, especially coming in the first race of the year, this place is always has a lot of things up its sleeve and is always unexpected and a little chaotic. So just trying to hit our marks, especially at a track so narrow. Colton hits his marks, we hit our marks. It's a long street circuit race, so just finish every lap and try and be as competitive as possible. And I think for the whole season, it'll more or less be just finish as many laps as we can, be as competitive as we can be. We know we have the driver. We know we have the equipment. We know we have the crew. It's just a matter of putting all the pieces together consistently and starting to earn our way on into the paddock and start to hopefully compete in the near future.
I think what he's saying is, unlike Haas F1's sponsor, Rich Energy, that tweeted that Romain Grosjean was the best driver ever and they had the best team ever after the first practice, that testing doesn't make perfect and there's still a season ahead. So with that little jab in there, I will turn it over to the other mic.
You've had a personal friendship with Colton for a while, and now it's turned into a professional relationship. What is it that you see from him that he brings to this team and this organization, both on and off the track?
I think on the track, I just think he's extremely special as a racing driver. I watched his career since he started at Skip Barber at 12 years old at Lime Rock Park. And ever since then, I followed his career, followed him through Europe, where he drove actually with Trevor Carlin over in junior formulas and was put up against a lot of the top guys in Europe to this day and really held his own and a lot of times was able to best those guys. So I got to see his talent against the best in the world over in Europe and then his talent against the best over here in Indy Lights. And so I knew we always had a talent off track. We have a great friendship. We have for years now. But his demeanor, his maturity, is a lot more mature than most 18-year-olds you'll find out there, especially getting that discipline over in Europe where it's all no-nonsense. You're held accountable for anything you do off track over there. So even at such a young age, you have to live on your own as an American. So he matured really quickly, and he's got quite the example from his father of how to be a racing driver and how to be a racing driver for a long time. So on and off track, there are no concerns about what we know Colton's capable of doing.
You just finished your first full IndyCar offseason. How exhausting is IndyCar offseason for a team owner when it might be offseason to us who don't have as much going on? But does your schedule actually get busier in the offseason, dealing with sponsors, setting up the team and everything? How busy does it actually get?
Gets really, really, really busy. And in terms of travel, the season itself is the most busy time. But for us, it's what we worked those months and months to get to. So for us, it's like as close to a vacation as we'll get, where we get to come to the racetrack and see what we've worked for the whole off season out on track, and look at the crew working their butts off and getting everything ready and getting the car out on track, and Colton working his butt off, hitting his marks, running the car around, and it's as close to a vacation as we'll get. But yeah, the off season is it's tough. It's nonstop. But this is the time where we get to enjoy the fruits of our labor
and the warm weather.
What race are you most looking forward to this season?
I feel like I'd be copping out if I said Indy, but that's the obvious answer. I always look forward to this race because I grew up 30 minutes north here in Clearwater Beach, and so it's always been a home race, and for it to be the season opener for my first season in IndyCar is a big deal to me. So St. Pete, Indy. I always love Road America just because I love the track and I love the atmosphere. So that's one I look forward to every year. But I know it's a cop-out, but 100% it's the 500.
It's not a cop-out. We all look forward to the 500.
Yeah, it's probably not the first or the last time we'll get that answer and that type of question. Go ahead, Mike.
So yeah, I'll dovetail with that one about the 500. What's it going to be like when, for you as an owner, to be standing out on the grid on race day with your car and your driver about ready to take the green flag?
I can only imagine, but I think the most emotional time for me will be the hour before the pageantry, the ceremonies. I always got emotional at, even when I wasn't involved or I was just a fan. I have a feeling once the race starts, I'll sort of blend into business as usual. So I think it'll be much higher stress, but it'll sort of be back to a normal sort of atmosphere of in race atmosphere and work. But I think the hour before the back home again in Indiana, the national anthem, the thousands of balloons flying up in the air, the pageantry, it's going to be an otherworldly experience getting to do that on the grid and standing next to the car in the rows of three and seeing them line up in the rows of three taking the green flag. It's going to be a once in a lifetime opportunity for me to do that for the first time.
I love it. I think I have goosebumps listening to that answer, thinking back to, you know, standing at the racetrack and watching it. We'll wrap it up with one round of questions each here. So, you know, your father, obviously, you know, now co-owner of the Yankees, you know, has he taught you a lot from the business end, you know, as a younger guy and, you know, being a team owner in any sport is probably tougher than I can even imagine. So, you know, have you leaned on him for advice or suggestions, or do you do what I typically do when my dad talks to me about work and try to give him the cold shoulder? And sorry, Dad, for admitting that on a recorded thing that you'll probably be listening to in a couple days.
Yeah, I mean, there's always the natural, you know, you give a little less levity to what your father tells you than even if someone else tells you the exact same thing. But I've leaned a lot on my father and my uncle.
Yeah.
And honestly, I've leaned on as many people as I can, being so young. And I've had the fortune of having folks like Michael Andretti and Brian Herta sort of mentoring me for years. And I have a lot of directions I can go to, whether it's business in general or specifically the business of IndyCar. Learning as much as I can, because I love the sport and I love learning about it. It's just a matter of finding all the advice I can.
Well, I think we're going to wrap this interview up right now because the cars just got on the track and nobody's going to be able to hear us at this point. So thank you very much for joining us this week. We all appreciate it. And everybody listening, we're going to have a part two with a race weekend recap coming up just after the sponsor announcement, and we'll be back after every race. We're back with part two of the Pit Lane Parlay experience with Harding Steinbrenner Racing, brought to you today by Apex Track Coach. You can find all the information at www.apextrackcoach.com. We're going to dive right into it here, dissect Colton Herta's race and qualifying performance. You know, part one, again, we talked to George Steinbrenner. As you guys just heard, it was a pretty good chat. And I think he is more mature than the three of us combined, despite being younger than us. So now that I've made fun of everybody sitting next to me, I'm going to give it over to Jess for her Colton Herta thoughts for the weekend.
I actually picked Colton as my sleeper pick for this race after his really good Coda test and also how he was doing this weekend. Basically right off the bat, I thought he was going to do really well. So I am pleased with how he finished. You know, an eighth place finish is absolutely nothing to be disappointed about. I was actually quite shocked how well they did, but I'm really glad, and I think that they're going to keep it up. I mean, it's a team that has a lot of drive. I think there's going to be their ups and downs, obviously, but I think bringing the discipline that George spoke about to the team and just watching Colton develop as he gets more comfortable in the car, more comfortable with the race situations, is going to be so fun this season. So I'm really, really happy with his eighth place finish. And I mean, I don't think they should be upset with that at all. I think it was a really, really good showing for them for the first race of the year.
Let me also say something nice about George and the fact that, yeah, he really, just a really impressive individual, and not just for his young age. I'm saying, you know, anybody who has his qualities is a pretty impressive individual. The fact that he's 22 even makes it more so. I really think he's got such a vision for this team, and he really, you know, and with Colton, he has somebody who he's really comfortable with. So that's going to be a good partnership, and I think he's going to bring, like he said, he's going to bring some of that Yankee organization mentality to his race team, and I think that's going to be paying dividends as we go down the road. About Colton's weekend, he was really impressive. I mean, one thing you always have to keep in mind for him is he hasn't even turned 19 yet. So, you know, he's going in. You look at the guys that finished in front of him. I mean, you've got some of these guys. Scott Dixon's been doing this for almost 20 years. Will Power's in his 10th year with Penske. Joseph Newgarden's coming up on his 10th year in IndyCar, as is Hinch. You know, so he's going against such great competition, and he's really holding his own, which is impressive. And, of course, that competition, I think, is going to make him step up his game and push himself and improve. Eighth place is a heck of a finish for him. Started 11th, could have maybe been in a bit better starting spot if he hadn't have been penalized out of the Fast 6 yesterday, but still an 11th place starting spot. To move up to 8th in a race that you really couldn't gamble for track position or anything late. I know they tried early because it looks like they pitted on lap 12. So they pitted early to try and roll the dice and try and make a make something happen, you know, the way Bourdais has last couple years, or some of the guys that were back in the field. But then we went 77 laps, green flag laps, to the end of the race from 33 to 110. And when the field is just running for that long and they're getting that strung out, there's really just not a lot you can do in terms of strategy and everything like that. You just kind of have to make it up on the track. And, you know, there were a couple drivers who improved more from their starting position as he did, but a lot of guys went backwards too. So overall, just a really impressive weekend for him. He goes to COTA in 2 weeks, which maybe is a track that fits his eye a little bit better, given his experience in Europe and everything like that, and how well he did there in spring training. He's going to have confidence. So I really think he's going to keep this momentum going as we go into COTA in 2 weeks.
Yeah, very well said. You know, I think it speaks a lot to his character that after the penalty, he could have been really angry and blamed race control, or blamed, who was it, Charlie Kimball, or, you know, whatever. And he came out and said, listen, you know, I made a mistake. It's my fault. You know, I'm sorry to Charlie for ruining his, you know, shot at the Fast Six, and I'm sorry to my team. But I think he played a really smart race. You know, sometimes in his Indy Lights, couple years there, he had really good race cars and got a little aggressive too early. I think it was the Freedom 100 2 years ago. So, you know, he played it really well today. He made one really great pass on, I think it was Jack Harvey, maybe. It was one of those guys who finished right behind him in the overall standings this week. But he was consistent the entire race, really didn't make a wrong move, and you know, never panicked, even on the start when I think he dropped back to 14th or 15th right off the start and kind of the chaos there. So really well done all in all. I would definitely give him you know, a solid grade of an A for his, you know, first race of the year and only his second ever IndyCar race. You know, he's obviously second in rookie standings right now, but you know, overall I think a really successful weekend for him and for the team. No pit stop issues, no issues on gambling on timing or anything like that. It all seemed to, you know, fall their way for you know, for the most part. So no issues there. So going to COTA, you know, he tested very well there, was top on the charts 3 out of 4 sessions, and second in the other session, if I'm remembering correctly. So I think they're in for another good weekend. I think you know, the Steinbrenner Harding organization has found you know, a good rhythm in year two, and I would imagine the technical alliance with Andretti to get them the new dampers and some engineers is
paying huge dividends for them already this year. So we'll wrap it up real quick here with, if you guys have any final thoughts or if you want to make a coda prediction for Colt and Herta without putting any thought into it, and I'll give it to Jess first.
After he did so well at the open test at COTA, I think it's going to be really, it's going to be really telling to see how he does in the actual race there. But I believe he's going to do really well. I think he's going to come out. And I honestly, in my opinion, I feel like after COTA, he is going to be higher than eighth in the standings. I think he could pull out a top five as long as he's consistent and keeps a cool head. So I think that he's going to do really well. And I'm really excited to watch him all season. I think he's going to develop a lot, and I think it's going to be really, really fun to watch.
I think one thing Mike touched on that kind of gave me another thought was just how well he took that penalty in qualifying. I think one of the most important things for a young driver to do is to get the respect of the paddock. And everyone, of course, has known him for a long time. I mean, with his dad, Brian, and everybody's probably known him since he was a little kid. But it's different when you get out on the track and you have to, win the respect of the guys you're competing against. And I think this weekend, just overall how he handled himself, both on and off the track, how he handled adversity and everything, went a long way to doing that. And I think as time goes on, they'll have, he'll keep developing that with his fellow drivers, and it can only mean better things for him.
Yeah, I think you guys are both on there. I'm going to say Colton will finish, roughly in the, 6 to 10 range again in the race. I think he'll be, maybe a little more competitive, maybe some more on-track passes than this weekend, but overall I see good things for them again as well. And if you did watch his pass during the race on whoever it was, I think it was in turn one and turn two, please tweet us who he passed so I can remember it and figure out what lap it was on. So again, thank you guys for listening to the first edition of Pit Lane Parlay Experience with Harding Steinbrenner Racing. We'll be back at almost every race this year with at least one or two of us from the team here. So I will let Jess sign it off.
And guys, keep your lug nuts tight.
The music for this week's episode was done by Impulse Studios, web design courtesy of A30.com.